Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. It's an interesting text for the fourth Sunday of Advent, which happens to fall on Christmas Eve. But the lectionary chose it this way, and we're going to go with it. So hear now this beautiful story in Scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God continue to bless our understanding of this sacred story. And will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the meditations of all of our hearts and our minds and our very souls be pleasing unto you this day and forevermore. Amen. So I find myself talking to her sometimes. I know that others pray to Mary, but I feel like I've asked enough of her already. So I just like to imagine sitting down for coffee and comparing notes about motherhood. After all, Jesus really gave her a run for her money right from the beginning. Being born when there was no room at the inn, he preached in the synagogue when he was only 12, and he disappeared on the way home, not to mention stirring up the crowds and the authorities once he began his public ministry. He invited danger throughout his life, and isn't that every mother's worst nightmare? And I want to sit with her and ask her, what in the world was it like for her to say that audacious yes when Gabriel came to visit her? And I want to know where she found the wisdom that she bestowed upon Jesus, because we often hear Jesus repeating her words from this very encounter with Gabriel. Mary proclaims, "Let it be with me according to your word." And we will hear Jesus tell a crowd of people, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." While Jesus is teaching to another crowd, he'll hear a woman call out, "Blessed is the woman that bore you and the breast that nursed you." And Jesus will declare, "Blessed rather are those who hear God's word and obey it." Jesus doesn't deny that his mother is blessed, but it seems he finds her blessed primarily because of her devotion and faithfulness to the word of God and her willingness to act upon it. And of course, we'll hear Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he is facing his crucifixion proclaim, "O God, not my will, but your will be done," which echoes Mary's, "Here am I." Mary taught her son well from that very first yes. Well, the clues as for how Mary was so brave and faithful are right here in this passage. First, she believed it when the angel told her, "Nothing will be impossible with God." She wasn't silly enough to think that she could do this on her own. She knew that she would have to rely on God's presence and strength to carry her through this scandalous pregnancy. and being the mother of this very special child. And surely it was God's presence that held her as she stood at the foot of the cross, bearing the impossible, witnessing the death of her beloved son. Despite all of the hardship Mary faced, she believed God was with her, and this filled her with divine hope. As author Jan Richardson describes it, we too can be inspired by this kind of hope. This hope is not about wishful thinking for a good result in a future time far removed from our present circumstances. Instead, hope is what comes to meet us here and now, even in the most painful moments. Hope makes it possible for us to see the presence of God when it seems most difficult, to say yes to God when it seems most impossible, to sing when it seems most absurd, to dream of and for a world restored when it seems most hopeless. Isn't that the kind of hope that we long to have live in us and shine through us? May God and Mary inspire that kind of divine hope in us. Our second clue as to how Mary was so brave and faithful is her saying, "Let it be with me according to your word." Although it's not found in scripture, several artists over the centuries have portrayed Mary reading when the angel Gabriel visits her. Like these artists, we can imagine she's immersed in scripture or a prayer book. We don't know, nor will we ever know, but it does raise a question for us. What words are we immersed in? Are we seeking God's word? After all, the word became flesh, as we'll witness once more when Jesus is born again, is born anew in just a few hours. Do we spend more time with all the words in the news and social media than we do with the word of God? It is so easy to get lost along the way with all the noise in the world that we might actually miss the Gabriels that appear in our midst, bringing a word of God, bringing a special invitation that we too should be saying yes to. And no, Gabriel probably won't appear as a pillar of light or a golden angel with delicate wings, but there are still angels among us bringing God's message to us. But are we paying attention? And are we willing to say yes when such an opportunity arrives? This is when we should remember Dear Mary. Sometimes opportunities are presented that convey seemingly unachievable expectations, but remember the words that Mary proclaimed in her heart: "Nothing is impossible with God." It's a refrain that conveys support, comfort, and courage for those confronting overwhelming expectations. Maybe it's a call to walk with the homeless or the migrants arriving daily in Chicago. Maybe it's an expectation to speak up when you witness racism, homophobia, bullying, anti-Semitism, or all the other injustices in the world. After all, when we say yes to God, our yes echoes that of Mary, and like her, we become God-bearers. And maybe it is not a great opportunity that is presented to us, but a seemingly impossible or overwhelming life event. During these times, it is also good to remember that nothing is impossible with God. Maybe the overwhelming life event is parenting a challenging child. Maybe the dilemma is facing a heartbreaking division in your marriage or family. Maybe it's a devastating diagnosis. In times like these, perhaps our yes is simply inviting God to be with us, trusting that we are not alone, saying, "Here am I, God. Please let me acknowledge your presence with me." Well, I have often imagined a conversation over coffee with Mary, chatting about her bold yes. Jan Richardson, who I mentioned previously, imagined what it must have been like for Gabriel, the messenger who witnessed firsthand Mary's yes. In response to her imagining, Jan wrote this beautiful poem titled Gabriel's Annunciation. For a moment, I hesitated on the threshold. For the space of a breath, I paused, unwilling to disturb her last ordinary moment, knowing that the next step would cleave her life, that this day would slice her story in two, dividing all the days before from all the ones to come. The artists would later depict the scene, Mary dazzled by the archangel, her head bowed in humble assent, awed by the messenger who condescended to leave paradise to bestow such an honor upon a woman, a mortal. Yet I tell you, it was I who was dazzled. I who found myself agape when I came upon her, reading at the loom in the kitchen. I cannot recall now, only that the woman before me, blessed and full of grace long before I called her so, shimmered with how completely she inhabited herself, inhabited the space around her, inhabited the moment that hung between us. I wanted to save her from what I had been sent to say, yet when the time came, when I had stammered the invitation, you see, history would not record the sweat on my brow, the pounding of my heart, would not note that I said, "Do not be afraid," to myself as much to her. It was she who saved me. Her first deliverance, her let it be, not just declaration to the divine, but a word of solace, of soothing, of benediction. For the angel in the doorway who would hesitate one last time, just for the space of a breath, torn from his chest, before wrenching himself away from her radiant consent, her beautiful yes. May we too be on the lookout for the angels among us. May we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and may we not be afraid to offer our radiant consent and beautiful yes, for nothing is impossible with God. What greater hope could there possibly be? May it be so.